Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful for this beautiful day and for the opportunity to be here in worship and freedom. We freely choose today to worship you as Lord and Savior. We're grateful for the sacrifice that you've made on our behalf, and we come to you today professing again our obedience to your commands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a bunch of phrases in Scripture that jump out to me that I want to get to, but I first have to sort of couch it in this story from the book of Acts. We heard this great story this morning of this man who was crippled from birth and couldn't walk, and Paul looking intently at him and seeing that he had the faith to be made well. He says, like Jesus, who he had heard had done these kinds of healings, he says, stand up and walk. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been lame, I've been lame over the last couple of years with legs, you know, a knee replacement and then a broken leg and all the surgeries that followed and all that silliness. I know what it's like to sort of get up and ache. I still have some of those aches. Getting old is not for sissies, right? Seeing that he had the faith to be made well within the limitations of our flesh, he had the faith to be made well. What he did then was remarkable because he was crippled from birth. He was crippled with a sense that the community around him could testify that walking was not something he did ever, let alone, you know, when he had the assistance of people standing on either side of him. He sprang up and he began walking. And the crowd saw this, and what did they say? These men must be like the gods. Let's build a statue. Let's have their hands be like Dan's. How ridiculous does that sound? And yet in our culture, we may not have gods, and we might not have a statue surrounding the gods, but we have false senses of worship. Why? Why would they want to bring affirmation to two-dimensional, well, some of them were made into three-dimensional objects, but stationary objects that they ascribed some sort of supernatural power to? Because they believe, like we do as humans, in cheap grace. It's easier for us to believe in limited things than in something almighty and powerful that really could do something tragically in our lives if we are not giving obedience to. When I think of my friends who have joined military, whether it be the Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, they all have ascribed to something that said that they would protect our country domestic and foreign. They would give of themselves in such a way that they're willing to lay down their lives. Is there much in your life right now that you'd be willing to lay down your life for? Now, we can all say the Sunday school answers, right? We can all give what we believe to be the right answers, but really when the rubber meets the road, I would say many of us would shrink back from the opportunities to stand in the gap. And yet we're not always called, because the Lord knows our limitations. We're not called to have to die. We're called to have to die to self so that he might live in us. But there's a whole list of places in Scripture that I would just want to remind you of. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 6. Deuteronomy 5, verses 8 through 10. Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 11. Deuteronomy 10. You think Deuteronomy's going to be on? Well, wait a second. You got some more. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. Deuteronomy 11, 1. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 14. Deuteronomy 11, 22 through 23. Deuteronomy 19, 9 through 8 through 9. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. Joshua 22, verse 5. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 19, Matthew 19, 17, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, John 14, verse 15, John 14, verse 21, John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. Have I made my point yet? 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. All begin with, if you love me, then keep my commands. Wow. In a human fleshly world, we say, if you love me, then do something for me. You know, we say, you know, we want affection, or we want money, or we want fame, or we want glory. But Jesus is not talking from that perspective of vanity. He's talking from a perspective of pure obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commands. He didn't say that through Paul to this crippled person. He said, well, if you love Jesus enough, then maybe you'll be healed. The gift of grace is free, right? Jesus died regardless of whether we recognize his sacrifice. But when we recognize the sacrifice, we realize that it transcends the two-dimensional of this world. The Greek gods have nothing on God, because God himself came to meet us in real time, in real history, to sacrifice himself for the sake of our sins, because he knew that in our limitations, we could not earn heaven. So as we look at the scriptures today, they illustrate for us just a better understanding of what I think the peace is that we have when we recognize what God is doing for us. Here on Memorial Day weekend, it's time for us to remember and honor the brave men and women who have given their lives in services of our country. We have to pause and reflect on their courage, dedication. We know that they are people under authority. And sometimes we give due honor to them as if they have a greater worth than you and I, but we are children under authority. As believers in Christ, we are followers of the way, and we're called to obedience to his commands. So the scriptures we have today, especially those from Revelation and from John chapter 14, they paint a picture of a future that we have to give glory to God for. We have a future in Christ because of his sacrifice, that there will be no longer any suffering, but we'll be redeemed, where God's presence will dwell fully with his people, and where we'll get to experience not temporary peace, not a peace with a question mark, because sometimes we watch the morning news and the peace disappears quickly, but a peace that is everlasting. Let's start with the passage from Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Can you imagine being able to witness that, or just the knowledge of all that we're familiar with? Even our limitations of understanding of what heaven might be like is gone. We don't have the imagination to really fully see, until we're there, the fullness of God's promise in the new heaven and the new earth. A new Jerusalem had come out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her bridegroom. When we get a picture, there's the picture. The picture is, think about all a bride does. And I wasn't a bride, I was a bridegroom. So I can't say that I fully understand. But when Kristen came around that corner and came down that center aisle, I was undone. I was undone. I was a mess. I cried. I ugly cried through the whole thing. You know, you just don't want to ugly cry, but your face is all like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful. This is incredible. Because it's just such a gift. It's a gift beyond compare of anything. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Imagine if you could just sit down and have coffee with God. You just have that conversation that you would. We believe and we imagine, we know that in our prayers we're getting a response. But I mean, the same way we would tangibly sit down, if I were to sit down with Greg right now and have a conversation, I would have that give and take in that way. I don't know if that's going to be possible, but I know in my knower that I will be close enough, and the intimacy between me and the living God will be so full and rich that it'll be like that. That's amazing, and that's the picture that gets painted for us. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Amen to that. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things had passed away. Tomorrow we celebrate the day that we've deemed on the calendar as Memorial Day, when we remember the sacrifices that have been made of others. In the same way, Revelation 21 offers a vision of ultimate peace after great sacrifice. Many of us are familiar with the stories. We probably have grandparents or great-grandparents who fought for our country and laid down their lives so that we could have the freedom that we operate in. Imagine the grief that comes with the loss, and some of you have experienced this, the loss of a loved one, the loss of parents or spouses or children. The pain of that loss is very real. Very real. It's hard. I was working on my thesis recently, and I was recounting some of the pauses that went into that thesis, the interruptions. I don't believe that they were evil, but certainly they were very real for me. And I came in the fall of 2018, and in the spring of 2019, on Ash Wednesday, my father passed. And then from there was a series of my father, my mother, my brother, my cousin, my uncle, my two very good friends, my mentor, my intercessor, and other people who had passed in what has been a very short period of time. And if I were without a rudder, if I were a person without hope, I would be devastated, probably medicated, maybe sucking my thumb in the corner somewhere, unable to be able to process all of that loss. But to me, it wasn't loss, because I know where they are. I know that they have professed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I know the prize, the present, the fullness of what is waiting for them. So yes, those things are devastating, and yet we remember, as we remember as believers, Memorial Day, that while those deaths that were given for our country were not in vain, the same thing goes for the death of our Savior. It was not in vain. It was a great gift that he chose to give to us. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was his ultimate act of love for us. It was a sacrifice so that God could bring the end of all mourning and crying and pain. Revelation 21 is a reminder that this won't end. It's not a temporary relief from our pain, but it's an end, period, end of sentence. Never to come again. There will be no more crying, no more pain. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Christ's victory will bring about the new world where death and suffering are no more. At the end of this passage in Revelation chapter 22, it says, "The angel showed me a river of the waters of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and through the middle of the streets of the city. Also on the other side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, not for fear of burning up, not for fear of the glory being too much to take. God has created us in a glorified body that's able to see him, as we say in our liturgy every Sunday, and thanks to Jeff Smead, we've made a liturgical response, face to face. Face to face, we'll see our God. They shall see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no lamp, light of the lamp or the sun, for the Lord will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. You see that here is a picture of God supplying all of our needs before we even would recognize that, oh, we need something. It just would be. I don't even know how to describe it in a physical term because it sort of transcends anything that we could put a description to. But if you've ever been to a really amazing meal, Chris and I went to a vineyard once when we were in Virginia, and the meal started off with a champagne, and the champagne perfectly matched this tiny amuse-bouche, this little nibble of food that was so tasty. I mean, every little morsel of it, you wanted to lick the plate if it wasn't really just going to be very rude. You just, oh, it was so good. And then the next course came. And then the next course came. And then the next course came. And then you had a dessert course at the end. And all with wine pairings. And after the meal was over, we were so satisfied with what we ate that we just wanted to linger there. And when you have those times where everything is just, it seems magical, all you want to do is just talk about how wonderful everything is. The atmosphere was beautiful, the outside it was gorgeous, the food was delicious, the person sitting across from me was just absolutely gorgeous. It was Kristen, by the way. We were lavishing in that moment. That's just a taste of what this feeling is like. Satisfaction. Pure peace, pure recognition of God's presence with us. I think of it like an illustration that comes to mind is, you know, on those days where you are really super thirsty, maybe after a hot day of working outside and you take a sip of water and you can feel it. It just goes in you and you can feel it all the way down to your toes. You're so thirsty, you're so parched that that water just runs right through you. The peace and presence, the power, the cleansing of God washing through you. Or maybe you take a walk through a beautiful park and you see where the trees have given you shade, shelter, and beauty, and imagine a place, a river that never runs dry, and the place where the trees' leaves heal not just individuals but nations. This is the vision that's being portrayed for us. And you think, what? We don't really think of trees providing leaves in that way, but you know, we're not teetotaling English people, but if you are a teetotaler, God bless you. Sometimes just a good cup of tea is what fixes what ails you. Have you ever had a cold or had just a stomach thing going on, and a cup of tea, the right kind of tea, just gives you not only the warmth of the tea, but whatever's in it, the settling of those things going on in your stomach. A cold glass of Coke does that for me often. It just settles what's going on in your heart and mind. Well, these trees that are being described for us are trees that the leaves have properties in them that would heal the nations. Amen. They were shade, not just shade. Shade wasn't what was just the only thing needed to heal the nations. But it was something internal that would take and reshape us and restructure. Everybody's talking about it now. The pure cure for all that ails us is gut health, right? It's on just about every advertisement that you see on Facebook and other places. And the reality is God has provided a place for us where those natural nutrients are not only cleansing us, but giving us the things that we need to be purified. In John chapter 14, Jesus speaks of his peace. In this place where the new heaven and the new earth have been replaced by a heaven and an earth that God has dreamed of, a new Jerusalem, not like the physical Jerusalem that we think of. I mean, a lot of us would like to believe that this is where the Lord will reestablish it. We don't know what it will be like, but even if it does use any of the elements of the earth that we've thought of as our home, it will look so different. It'll be completely redone. John's gospel says this, "Whoever has my commandments," have you heard that before? I think I gave you a list, "and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father." If there's anything we could do as disciples of Christ, it is to keep his commandments. It is to understand what are his commandments. I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm just talking about all the things. The boil down for Jesus was what? The summary of the law. And we say that every Sunday to remind us that's our marching orders. We need to love the Lord with everything we've got. Heart, soul, mind, strength. It's gotta be everything that's in us. And I have to confess to you, and I know this of you, that that's not where our mind is 24/7, every day during the week. We forget easily. We need God's grace. We don't need cheap grace. We don't need Zeus. We don't need Hermes. We don't need any secondary, two-dimensional God to give us a better feeling about our humanity and our sinfulness. We need God's cleansing, and we need his sacrifice so that there's end to everything that is behind us, and the things that we move forward on, we ask for God's grace to keep us in a place where we lead an amended life, where we lead a life that is doing everything that we can to love the Lord with all our heart, strength, mind, everything that we've got, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what we've been called to do. So the Lord goes on, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, I'll come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father." Jesus in this phrase is reminding his disciples that even he in his limitations of his flesh is limited in the fullness of his power. We don't think of God with theologically, we have to be careful here because we don't want to think of God, Jesus, being disconnected in any way, power, or shape or form from God. But for the sake of the illustration, he has to go to the Father so that as he returns in the full power of the triune God with all of the rights, responsibilities, authorities that he has to bring back to reshaping this world. So when he comes back, he's saying, my return will be the time where I bring about this new heaven and this new earth. While in the flesh, I am fully God and fully man. I will die for the sake of the sins of the world. But when I rise to life and as I go to the Father, I will go to the Father so that when I return, there is no holds barred. What I bring with me will be something so new and so amazing that the rest of the world will melt away. All the things of the sin, of sin, flesh, and the devil will melt away. Memorial Day, as we celebrate it, we recognize that it honors peace that is bought with a price. And the peace that the world offers, we recognize also that it's temporary. Peace that comes with maybe a ceasefire, even though we've seen those broken in recent days. It would be, we hope, an end to conflict as we see wars, but it doesn't remove pain. It doesn't remove scars. It doesn't remove wounds. What Jesus has to offer is different. A different kind of peace, a peace that's not dependent on the circumstances, but it's rooted in his presence. It's not something we have to wait for. Let me say that again. The peace that Christ brings to us is not dependent upon any action that we can take, but it is dependent upon his presence. when we spend our time focusing on and honoring and blessing his presence in our midst, doing everything that we can to get everything off of us or out of us that would distract us from that presence, then we get to experience a peace that passes understanding, right? We get to experience a fullness of God. None of the mischief or mess that we bring to our lives will matter. We won't want to be a part of those things. He is with us in our darkest moments. His peace is not just a temporary cessation of conflict, but a lasting assurance of his love. Memorial Day can remind us, as we celebrate this weekend, of the peace, of this kind of peace, so that what we have given to keep our lives secure is important, but it should also point us to a peace that surpasses what war and what taking up arms has done to secure peace. It should go beyond it, so that we look to Christ to secure for us an eternity of peace. Even in the midst of our mourning, even in the midst of war and sacrifice, even in the midst of our own messy humanity, we have access to his presence. We have the ability to be with Jesus. We have the ability to experience peace that surpasses our understanding. So as we honor those who have lost their lives, we also lift our eyes to a greater hope. The greater hope. The ultimate peace and restoration that our passage from Revelation today says. A new heaven and a new earth, a river flowing of life from God himself. It's a promise that we need to hold on to. Jesus' peace is a peace he gives through his sacrifice. It's a peace that sustains us, even as we remember the sacrifices of others. So, as we look at our own nation's Memorial Day, and we want it to be a time of reflection of the courage of those who've gone before us, it may also be time for us to pause and remember the greater sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the eternal peace that he brings. I pray for you, I pray for me, I pray that you pray for me, that we together would live in that peace, that today and always we would know that one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we would have security in knowing that all things will be made right. As we get older and we realize the limitations, the lameness of our life, Jesus tells us these stories constantly so that we're reminded that those are spiritual states. Even when our bodies are disintegrating, we don't have to embrace this, what the enemy wants to place on us. He's always confronting spiritual deafness, spiritual muteness, spiritual lameness in our lives. That's not the right way to say it, proper English, but he's always making sure that we realize that he's the one that restores. He's the one that gives us eyes to see and ears to hear and mouths to proclaim the beauty of his name and the power of his presence. When we do so, even in this limited life, we get to rise above the circumstances that we face in our lives. So I want to pray today. I want to pray in recognition for the freedom that we experience, for the gratitude that we have, and to express to Jesus how much we love being in his presence. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the courage and sacrifice of those who have given their lives for the freedom that we enjoy on a daily basis. We also thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, is in no way a comparison to those lives lost, because you have given yourself that we might have eternal peace. Help us to live lives in the light of that peace, knowing that one day you will wipe away every tear, that all things will be made new. And we look forward with hope and grace, with certainty, to the day when we experience your presence fully, with fullness forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.